Amen. We're not at camp. Lord, bless all of our youth at camp. I know you're sleeping in this morning, but the Lord richly bless you. We wish we were sleeping in too. Praise God. Amen. This morning we're going to be talking about a very interesting discussion about the discipline of, you ready for it? Foot washing. What? Praise God. Nobody ran the aisles. No one shouted, praise God. Lord bless brother and sister Wicker this morning. Amen. So good to see brother and sister Dart this morning. Praise God. So many. I love camp time because you get to see everybody from all over the district and then all over the world. Praise God. Amen. The discipline of, if you're ready for it one more time, foot washing. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We're going to start in John 13, verse 14. Read our focus verse and get right into the lesson because I know that you're excited about this one. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. John 13, 14. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If I, your Lord and Master, if I'm willing to, if I give the example of, if I will wash your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Praise God. Our focus thought this morning, Jesus' example of foot washing calls the church to, it's one of our favorite words, goes right next with submission, humility. How many enjoy the word humility? Praise God. All those that raise their hands are not humble. But humility and community. How many enjoy the community of the church? The unity of the church. Getting together with God's people. I love, eternity and all of the things promised in the Word of God, I enjoy the life that I live. There's something great about the community of the church. I love the family that I have. There are people at camp meeting I've never met before. I can go up and hug their neck. Praise God, might scare them a little bit. But I can go up and hug their neck. They're family to me. They're family to me. I enjoy the community of the church. Praise God. And by the way, there is promise of eternity. Don't want you to confuse, to think that I don't think that there is going to be an eternity spent with God Almighty. Praise God. I'm excited about that too. But while I'm here on earth, I might as well enjoy the community that God has placed me in. Praise God. And then another word that we enjoy so much, service. Service. Jesus' example of foot washing calls the church to humility, community, and service. Service. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. We're going to just very quickly go through a history of foot washing. Many people don't understand where it came from other than just the cultural significance of the time and walking through dirt and wearing sandals, right? So that there's the hygiene side of it, and a lot of people understand that side of it. And don't know why do we need to do that today? We don't wear sandals, and when we do, we wear socks so that we're cool. It's a fashion no-no. Don't wear socks and sandals. Praise God, amen. But that's another lesson for another time. Praise God, amen. You don't want to wear white socks. No. Praise God. Moving on. All right. So each Easter, many churches from all denominations or most denominations observe communion. And a portion of these churches also observe foot washing. Still among these churches, often there's confusion around foot washing. Recent scholars have lamented in the decline of the practice of foot washing and the misunderstanding of its significance for Christians. Today, if we get anything out of the lesson today, I want us to understand that there is significance. Everything in the Word of God, everything, especially the examples that Jesus gave for us, should hold significance in our walk with Him, in our relationship with Him. There needs to be an understanding of all of these principles, and they need to be significant to our lives. Well, we kind of do this at our church, and we kind of do that at our church, and we believe that, but we don't practice. That's not really an important aspect of our walk with God anymore. No, the things in the Word of God, in our relationship with Him, the examples that Jesus gave, need to have significance in our life. Significance. It is sad that many younger Pentecostals have never participated in a foot washing service and would consider it a foreign thing in their life of the church as they know it. Mentioning foot washing to some would be like mentioning a LP, a record. Right? Yeah, that's something that used to happen, used to occur, and I've heard about it before, but no, I've never seen it or witnessed it. If foot washing is indeed a biblical mandate, then why is the church relinquishing this practice? We should be among the churches reclaiming the beauty of foot washing. Amen. Historical progression of foot washing, we'll go through this quickly and we'll get into some good stuff here. Certainly, in church history, the act of foot washing takes on a meaning that extends beyond temporal hygiene. Praise God. I'm thankful for clean feet. Everybody thankful for clean feet. Praise God. Amen. Not a great sounding amen there, but there's a few of us in the building that appreciate clean feet. Praise God. Amen. I'm one of them. Amen. Praise God. There you go. Amen. Foot washing became a way of for church leaders to, and this is where it's something starts out really great and then goes through these times where man decides to take something that God has done and an example that God has given, and I'm going to turn it into something that is going to benefit me, make me look good, exalt me, which is the complete opposite of what this is, right? And so there was a time in history where foot washing became a way for church leaders to appear benevolent and humble by washing the feet of the poor and lowly in a public ceremony. Isn't that awesome? We're gonna announce it on the radio. We're gonna announce it on Facebook Live. We're gonna have a foot washing ceremony so that everybody can come watch the preacher wash the feet of the lowly and the poor. And we're gonna broadcast that. And I'm gonna show the world how humble I am. Amen. That's important for everybody to know how humble you are. Isn't that awesome? So Martin Luther objected to this false humility and hypocrisy. He sensed in the ritual that foot washing had become during the Reformation period. He critiqued the practice and admonished believers instead to focus on serving their neighbors rather than following a ritual. The service is important. The ritual is not what's important. It's the heart behind what we do. And I think we understand that this morning. When God gives us an example, it's about the heart behind what we're doing. We can wash feet until we're blue in the face. We can go scrub everybody's feet and make them sparkly clean and have the wrong spirit have the wrong attitude, the wrong motives behind what we're doing. And it means nothing. That's not what God wanted us to do. And so there are no benefits, there are no blessings, there are no anything if we get ourselves in the way of what God truly wants. Many denominations looking for newer, less intimate ways of pursuing humility and service. This, we're always looking for the easy way out at times. That is human nature. That is me. That's just me. I'm always looking for the easy way. Work smarter, not harder. Right? Yeah. Is there an easier way that we can do this without going through all of the things that Jesus had to do? Is there an easier way for me to be saved? Is there an easier way for me to serve God? Is there an easier way for me to live up to the standard? Is there an easier way for me to be holy in my life? A simpler way. I think that there's an easier way that it's not going to be so much work on my part. And you know, we're not saved by works. So there's got to be an easier way. God's going to take care of all the work aspect of it. And I'm not going to have to do anything except be. I'm going to be a Christian. So we're always looking for newer and less intimate ways of pursuing humility. But sometimes it simply takes humility. Simply takes humility.
Take off the fancy look, the fancy clothes. Get down off my stage, my platform, my station in life. And take on the role of service. Take on the role of servanthood. Amen. Can I help you? Can I lead you to your table to be served? Can I help you in my life? Can my life serve you in any way? And notice, right at the moment, I'm still in a posture of not necessarily service. But when I take it to this level, and when I bow my head, and when I pray for the feet of my brother and my sister, and I put myself in that posture of service, service, God, I humble myself before my brother, before my sister. God, I want you to bless them, anoint their feet. Everywhere they step, God, minister, Lord, in their lives. God, help me to minister to my brother, to my sister. Amen. It's about service. And it's about my posture in service. I'm not going to go and try to be a servant to my brother. And watch this example. I've got an older brother. And I've got... there's something about brothers and competition, right?
You don't know anything about that.
No, nothing about that at all. But if my brother's sitting, like my brother's sitting, I want to be just a little higher than my brother's sitting. And then my brother's going to sit up on the edge like that as well, and then all of a sudden... That's not quite good enough either. I'm going to keep it just a little bit higher than my brother. Yeah. I'll sit right here because my brother's...
Hang on. My brother.
Right? It's That's how it works, right? That's how it works. That's how brothers compete, right?
That is not the environment that God wants brothers and sisters to be in. Right? Right? God wants brothers and sisters to be in this environment. Serving one another. Not trying to outdo one another. Not trying to outdo one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just did all that stuff so I could get comfortable. Praise God. I'm just messing. But that takes effort, and it goes against human nature. It goes against human nature. We have no desires within ourselves to humble ourselves and get down on our knees and get in a posture where we are serving and submitted to one another. Praise God. Help us, Lord, today to understand what our posture needs to be. Help us to understand where our mindset needs to be, where our heart needs to be. We need to serve one another. One another. Praise God. Hallelujah. Foot washing in Scripture. John 13 recounts Jesus washing the feet of his disciples during what we now call the Last Supper. Almighty God, manifest in flesh, knelt before flawed humanity and cared for them in a manner of a servant. And upon completion of Almighty God being a servant, he directed those disciples to wash each other's feet and added in John 13:15, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." I like to take special note when Jesus speaks. And when he says, "I've done it for an example for you, and now I want you to do it," I take that stuff pretty seriously. Amen. Amen. Because my life here on earth, my goal here on earth, is to be like Jesus. It's to be like Jesus. On earth, I long to be like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scripture and cultural context. Of course, it was practiced for sanitary reasons and cleaning one's feet. And the gesture of it was a gesture of hospitality by a host. You come to their house. And just like we would, "Hey, do you want a cup of coffee?" "Yes, please." "I'll take one. Right now it would be fine." Cup of coffee. We have our own cultures of being a good host. And you can sit in my lazy boy. It's okay. You can go there, even though I really would like to sit in that chair. I'm going to let you sit in my chair. We have our own customs and things that we do and offer meals. That was a custom of the day, to wash their feet. And a good host, and to be a good hospitable host, you would wash their feet. But it's typically performed by a servant. And it was familiar to all. John took care to record Jesus' instructions about the act of foot washing. Jesus kneeling before his disciples was not routine, and it was not expected. Peter's reaction kind of showed that. "No, you're not going to wash my feet. I know who you are. There's no way I'm going to let you, somebody of your stature, wash my feet. Because I know who I am." So it was not routine. It was not expected. But Jesus was very pointed in his example. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the King of Kings, the God of everything. And the example is to humble and submit be a servant to those around you. Be a servant. A call to humility. Why is humility such an important part of Christian living today? Ready, go. Why is it? Why is humility such an important part of Christian living today? Sorry. It does not come natural. We need God's help every day, sometimes every moment of every day, to be humble. Why is humility so important to Christians today? Absolutely. The opposite of pride. Pride comes before the fall. You will know that you're his disciples when you have love one for another, when you serve one another. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, our mighty King and Master, stooped before his followers. He laid aside his garments. He took up the servant's towel. The image of the one who controls all time and space bowed to serve another. He bowed to serve another in a true act of humility. Humility. Preferring fellow believers or avoiding arrogance is vital as a follower of Christ, because we value humility because it reflects Jesus' image and his changing work in our lives. It transforms us from being a proud non-believer to being a humble believer. Hallelujah. We are humble because he was humble. Anybody want to be like Jesus? Hallelujah. We are humble because he is humble. Not proven by participating in an annual foot washing service, but using such a time to realign our lives in the pattern of Jesus, who commanded in Matthew 23, 10 and 11, "Neither be ye masters, for one is your master, even Christ, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Now, one very significant aspect of foot washing that we might be kind of hazy back here in the back of our minds that we think about occasionally, but a very significant part of it was that this was done in the shadow of the cross. Such humility takes on even greater significance when we recognize the setting of John 13. Jesus was preparing for the work of the cross. Preparing to bear that weight. Preparing to give everything on the cross. And part of that preparation was submitting and being humble and giving not everything just in a public display, which the cross was a public display. Everyone could see that. But not everybody saw behind the doors when Jesus knelt down and washed feet and washed feet and humbled himself in that setting. Jesus was preparing for the work of the cross. Jesus Christ, to be God manifest in the flesh, come to earth for the purpose of redeeming humanity in the ultimate act of love at Calvary. As Jesus laid aside his garments and took up the servant's towel, foot washing was a foreshadowing of the laying down of his life. Foreshadowing the laying down of his life. And today, as Christians, we need to lay down our lives. We need to lay down our lives. If we are to be like Christ, we need to lay down our lives. Not looking for the easy way out. Not looking for the easy solution. Some kind of tech solution that's going to make it all easy and simple. Just push this button and everything happens. All the lights in your house come up and dim and lock your door from work and all this kind of, all this easy stuff technology does for us, which I'm not against technology. But it just makes things so much easier at times, yet when it doesn't work, it doesn't work, praise God. But there are things in our life that we need to do to humble ourselves, and that takes work, and that takes effort, and that takes prayer, and that takes fasting, and that takes time spent in the Word, and that takes time coming to the house of God when you're tired and you don't feel like going to the house of God. It takes time. It takes effort. There's no easy way around that. There's no easy way out. Come to our service, push this button on this app on your phone that you can download, and you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Praise God. That's not how it works. That is not how it works. There was effort. There's effort in getting out of that pew and coming to this altar. Why do we got to go down there and make a public spectacle of myself? There's effort. There was a battle in the heart that goes on. Should I get out of this pew or not? Should I come down to that altar or not? I just don't know. Is God calling me? I'm not. Take the step. Take the step and come down and see what God will do in your life because of the effort that you took to come out of your pew. Praise God. This beautiful act of Jesus kneeling before the disciples pointed ahead to the ultimate act of Calvary and meant more than a charge to be kind to others or to be humble. Do you get that? There's more to it than just being kind and being humble. It headed the way for Calvary, which was complete and absolute sacrificial giving of one's self. Calvary reveals the ultimate love that Jesus had for you and I. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for his love today. I'm thankful for Calvary today. I don't know where I would be today without his love for me, for the sacrifice of Calvary. Jesus stooped to the feet of the 12 disciples who were flawed, who were undeserving. Anybody ever felt undeserving? Every time I think about his love for me, I feel undeserving. I feel undeserving. God has been so good to me. But Jesus stooped to the feet of those undeserving followers and extended unconditional love, unconditional fellowship, and service. Hallelujah. Foot washing cannot be separated from the context of Calvary and should be observed with thanksgiving and gratitude for the atonement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An act of service in community. It's a shared experience. We don't come to church and wash our own feet. Talking about community, being a part of the body. There's so much unity. So much unity in a foot washing communion service. There's an act of binding together, caring for one another, shared experience, loving one another, serving and caring for one another. Amen. Foot washing recognizes the identity of Jesus both in his incarnational purpose and his infinite love for all humanity. We recognize Jesus' lordship by obeying his command. How many enjoy obeying commands? Any military folk in the house today? I'm sure that every once in a while, in the back of your mind, you're thinking as you're getting yelled at by the drill sergeant, I'm not going to do that. And then your body just starts doing it. I'm running another 20 miles today. Praise God. My body doesn't feel like it, but I'm getting yelled at enough that I'm going. I don't care. It's a command. It's a command. Do that. And so we follow, we recognize his lordship by obeying his commands. Sometimes we struggle in our relationship with God because we don't recognize his lordship. God, I've read it in your word. I see where you would like me to do this. And if I read it in a few different versions, I can kind of wiggle my way around that situation and not have to do that in my life. Well, that church doesn't do it, and they're Pentecostal. Help us, Jesus. Right? We can rationalize anything. Just have children. They can rationalize anything. They can explain anything away. Right? There'd be things broken in AJ's room, and he'd be like, I didn't do it. It took him until he was about 12 to realize he was an only child. There was no one else to blame. There's no one else to blame. We can rationalize stuff away. But when we recognize Jesus as Lord in our lives, in control, God Almighty, we will obey his commands. And we will like it. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Not all of them are easy. Right? And that is the cool part about community. We've got one another. We've got brothers and sisters who will encourage us along the way, strengthen us, people we can talk to, praise God, that will help us in our journey and recognize Jesus as Lord in our lives and obey his commands. Amen. Praise God. 55 doesn't mean 55, does it? Speed limit? Speed limit, 55, 65, 60. Yeah. See, even the laws of the land, we find ways. They won't stop me if I'm going 57. We even find a way to rationalize speed limits, right? Praise God. We'll get there like 3 seconds earlier, according to our GPS, if we go 57, right? And they won't stop us because there's always going to be somebody going 58, right? Man, if I can just get behind that one car, he's really cruising. I'll get to Anchorage 3 minutes earlier, right? Praise God. How did I get off on that? I don't know. Obeying his command. Praise God. Praise God. All right. There's power in remembering together. Talk about the church and the community of the church. There is power in remembering together. When we get together and we sing songs about the blood, and we stand and we worship together, we clap our hands together, we run around this building together as a church, there is power in remembering together. When a family reunion occurs, which we get to have several times a week, praise God. When a family reunion gets together and people start remembering all of the things that we used to do as a kid, and then somebody else pipes up about another memory that occurred in that same event, and everybody laughs about that. It's just, there's such a power about the memories that we have. They come to life again. They come to life again. Stuff that I couldn't even remember when I was a kid, somebody else will bring up. It's like, oh yeah, I remember spending that summer at grandma's. I remember climbing to the top of that bridge that was over the river that we could have died. I remember those things, right? There's power and unity that comes when we remember together. And that is part of submitting and doing foot washing together as a church. We remember together the power. We remember together the unity. We remember together the submitting and the humility that Jesus showed. And it becomes even more powerful in our lives. Praise God. Every time. Every time. Praise God. Hallelujah. The act of coming together to observe this biblical command has deep meaning. The light of Jesus' instituting foot washing as a predecessor to the cross, our contemporary church service that includes foot washing, prompts us to remember together Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary. It brings us together in a special way that only people who have experienced the cross can understand. As such, it is one way to cement our bond as a church family. It binds us together. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the relationship that we have with one another. I'm thankful for the relationship we have with God, but I am not an island. I cannot just have my own church at my own house by my own self. I need you, and you need me. Whether you like it or not, you need me. Praise God. We need each other, and we need to have a close relationship. Praise God. There's a lot of happy faces in church. You walk through that door and smile. But if they know you, and they know what you've been through that week, see, I can see your smile. I can see that Jesus is working in you today, because that smile should not be on your face after the week that you went through. Right? We know, we should know one another. Hallelujah. It brings us into a deeper relationship with one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the unity of the church is so important. The unity of the church is so important. The example that is given about kneeling and washing shows us that we all kneel as equals before the cross. Just because I've got a few generations of Pentecostals in my background, and somebody else may not, and they may have just come in today, means nothing when it comes to my relationship with God. We all need to be on our knees. And when we're on our knees before the cross, there is no status symbol. I don't have nothing on my back that says five generations. I have sinner coming before God, an almighty God that wants to save me and share his love with me. Hallelujah. And with you. Praise God. We all kneel as equals at the foot of the cross. Our identity as children of God overshadows every other identity marker. The most basic component of who we are is found in our role as children of God. When we come together as a family, humbly serving one another with genuine love in spite of any societal or cultural or carnal barriers, God is glorified and touches us in profound ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no race, there's no gender, there's nothing in society, no financial barriers when it comes to meeting God Almighty. Hallelujah. We come to the cross equally today. Hallelujah. And we must come submitted and humble before Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had other questions today, and I'm sure you all had other answers. Praise God. Amen. Why is serving others contrary to our human nature? And how does Jesus call us away from that instinct and to His image? Two-part question. Ding. Read three. Any quizzers in the house? Praise God. Any answers today? Why is serving others contrary to human nature? Man, I don't think we got time to get into that one. Selfish. That is human nature right there. Anybody selfish in the building today? Praise God. I know. Well, I'm much sicker than you. The operation I went through last week was much worse than your operation. praise God. We'll even compete with humility. I'm more humble than you are. Right? Look at my humility. My humility is much more humble than your humility. I've even got a button that says I'm humble. Praise God. Right. Praise God. Serving others is very contrary to human nature. Very contrary to human nature. How many are really good at finding excuses when your friends or your neighbors or even your church family say, hey, I've got like a cord of wood or 5-cord or 10-cord of wood that needs to be split on Saturday. Are you free? Where is my... Oh, hang on. I got to look it up on my Google Calendar here. And the weather does not look good that day. And when the weather forecast is looking bad, my arthritis just starts acting up. And I sense now, a month ahead, that my knees are probably going to be bothering me by then. And we'll find any excuse in the book to not help at times. It goes against human nature to serve others. Praise God. But the closer we get to God, the closer we get to God, the easier we find ourselves serving others. Why is that? Because we're becoming like Him. And if we're becoming like Him, He served others. His whole life, His whole mission was service. And so if we find ourselves serving others and not minding it so much, don't pat yourself on the back. That takes the humbleness away. Praise God. But note, I think maybe, just maybe, in my walk with God, I'm getting to a place where I'm becoming more like Him. And don't ever stop there. Don't ever stop there. Continue to get closer to God. And the closer you get to God, the more you'll serve. Praise God. Get closer to God, the more you'll serve. The more you'll give of yourself, the more you'll be like Jesus. Can we stand this morning? Can we stand this morning? Anybody want to be like Jesus? Hallelujah. Easy to say, so hard to do. Easy to say. I want to be like Jesus, but I don't want to humble myself. Is there any way to be like Jesus without humbling myself? Can I skirt around that? No. Just be honest with you today. No, there is no way to get around the being humble. Being a servant, giving of yourself, even when you're tired. Even when you're tired, giving of yourself. Giving of yourself. God, help me to be more like You. Help me to serve those. Help me to have a spirit of humility and servanthood. And servanthood, God, help me, Lord, today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.